thrill me with your words. Hi, and welcome to the Wonder What podcast. My name is Rob.
And I'm Robbie.
And we are here. What are we here for? What are we doing? You've dragged me to the kitchen table yet again. Why are we here?
Well, we're here to discuss all things Eastgate, of course, a few other things.
All things Eastgate and beyond.
Yes.
To infinity and beyond.
Sounds good.
Sounds familiar somehow.
People aren't hooked to staying and listen now. I don't know
what
will get them.
How could you not be? Yeah. Once you put in a Toy Story reference, you should have everybody.
That's right.
Everybody. All four people should be on the edge of their seats right now.
Uh-huh.
Just ever so slowly dozing off.
That's right. Stay tuned for the next 50 minutes of nonstop fascination.
Hilarity.
Intriguing stories.
Yes, yes, yes. I can see it in my mind and it's beautiful.
Anybody who wanted to be our friends are quickly changing their minds.
Yeah, that's happily. Only three of the people who listen to the podcast were our friends anyway. The rest are family members. Or...
and we thank you all.
So what's going on? What's happening? What are the upcoming things going on at Eastgate?
Well, on the date of this recording, which is near the end of September, September 27th, we have a couple of meetings coming up. Of course, the regular ones, which we talk about all the time. I think the men's meeting's coming up soon. That may have come by the time you get this edited and posted.
More than likely.
But that's every month. And then the next meeting after that, kind of a small group type meeting, is the women's breakfast, which we're doing a little differently this month. That's on October 6th. It's always the first Saturday of the month. And we're going to meet in St. Andrew's Coffee House for breakfast and coffee.
Ah, fun.
Yeah, and then we're just going to... And actually, the thing about this one is really anybody can come. It doesn't have to be just the ladies. We're going to go down to...
Men can come to the women's breakfast.
Yes, yes. Opposed to just ladies, yes. The men can come. The children and all of them.
I don't know. I feel like we're crossing boundaries here.
I know. I suppose technically they could come to St. Andrew's Coffee House as well because it is a public place.
It is.
So we won't kick them out. But we're walking down the street to about 9:30-ish to Oaks by the Bay Park and signing up for a NAMI walk.
And NAMI stands for?
National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Mental illness.
Yes.
So it's basically an organization that focuses on the various ways. We had several podcasts back. We had Georgina Dopiera come on, and she talked about her association with that. And I think she's actually even taken a greater role in
that.
Well,
I think she's the president of the Bay County NAMI, but she's also very busy right now. She went back to school for her degree, I think, in psychology. But either way... But she still is the president of the Bay County NAMI. So she's the one that told us about this. It just happened to fall on a Saturday that we do the women's breakfast. And she really was hoping that we would participate. And I thought, you know, we really want to show commitment and support of it. And the walk actually starts about 10 a.m. and then includes a picnic lunch after that. So it's actually breakfast and lunch if you think about it.
Man.
But it just is kind of an awareness, a county awareness walk to help us become more aware of what they do and how they help support those with mental illness and the family members.
And I still think this is just a really good cause. And I think that it goes right along the lines of the other thing that we've got coming on, coming up on October 10th. So you can always remember at 10:10 is we're going to have our first meeting of Light, LIGHT, which is where we're going to get together. We're going to pray and think about how we as a community can be more outwardly focused and considering ways in which we can go out and be the light of the gospel in the world in which we've been placed. And I feel like NAMI is a part of that. We even got together with Georgina at one point and talked about the various ways, the opportunities that might be there for us to partner with NAMI.
And they even have a kind of an arm of their organization called FaithNet, NAMI FaithNet, I think, where churches support NAMI and basically have meetings at their building every so often to encourage and support. And they have a lot of resources available to help those.
And I believe that she even told us that at this stage, there's no
representative,
no church representative in Bay County.
That's right.
So, I mean, this is an opportunity even for us to get in there because it is an important issue. It's one that we don't seem to take seriously enough. I think we're starting to. I think the church is becoming more and more aware that this is not just, you know, it either falls into categories of like you don't have enough faith, or you've got an open door somewhere, mm-hmm. The church somehow has taken a position of it almost being like a black eye. If you have mental health issues and need counseling or help or therapy or medication
right.
to help bring into balance some of the chemicals that are the intricate chemicals that make up the human experience. So I just think it would be an important step for us even as a community to.
Absolutely. So we're excited about that. So yeah. The both meetings, honestly, the light meeting is going to be, like he said, on 10/10/18. That's a Wednesday night. We'll meet in the big room at 6:30.
Yep.
And that's going to be, I think we mentioned this on our last podcast as well, but that, you know, we just finally were able to come up with a date.
Yeah. And I'm very excited about it. I just really think the Lord's stirring this. Everybody that I've talked to, and I've had an opportunity since the last podcast to talk to even more people about this, and everybody just seems pretty well stoked by it. There's definitely a stoke of the spirit happening here.
I think it's a good time. The timing is right.
I do too. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? Any other small group news or things like that?
Not that I have, but I think you met with someone the other day locally. It's not really Eastgate news, but it's more local church news. That's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. So I got I was contacted by a guy by the name of Brian Joy, and he is heading up a ministry called Guerrilla Faith. And they're meeting right now. They're actually having their meetings, I believe, bi-monthly or monthly at Coyote Ugly, which is a bar down here on the beach.
It is.
And it is.
I've heard. I haven't been there, but I've heard.
and so, you know, obviously people have mixed reactions about that sort of thing. Like, you know, one person's reaction was, oh, I don't feel good about that. That's a place that seems to operate through the exploitation of women. And I get that. I understand that there's that aspect, but it's there. Whether we approve of it or not, it's there.
Well,
and if you try to imagine the thing that Jesus would do, I mean, you try to imagine where Jesus would show up, and it's kind of the thing that Jesus did, was get everybody upset because he was doing it wrong.
That's right. He never quite went along with the status quo. But it should be mentioned that they are meeting when the bar is closed.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. They meet I believe a couple hours before the bar opens. Anyway, I had a chance to, Blake and I sat down with him, and my interaction with him was very positive. I really enjoyed him. I enjoy his heart. We may not see eye to eye on everything, but that doesn't really matter. His heart, he's a Marine.
Yeah.
I mean, not active, but I mean, right. He was a Marine. I think you're not supposed to, you can't say an ex-Marine. I don't know how that works. Anyway, you Marines out there can straighten me out. But either way, he was a Marine. His wife is presently a pilot in the Air Force. And so he's just got a heart to reach out to,
veterans
and active military guys. People have seen a lot of things. There's a lot of issues that men and women struggle with because of
absolutely
things that they've experienced, you know, either in actual combat or just having to be away and just experiencing all that goes along with this in our current world. And so there's all kinds of opportunity to minister there. And I pray for him. I'm wishing the best, and
yeah.
I want to help out whatever way I can, because like I said, he was a really good guy, and I enjoyed getting to know him.
Yeah, and he just came by to meet you guys. I think he just wants to meet as many local pastors as he can to kind of meet you and have mutual accountability, I suppose, but just as a way to know each other in the area. And as a side note, it is a very difficult thing to do. There's been a few attempts. I know Beach Care, not Beach Care Services.
The Beach Ministerial Association
did that at one time. And and it is a really cool thing. I know you liked being able to meet with the other beach pastors, but it's hard because everybody is just so crazy busy all the time.
It's herding cats trying to get
other
pastors together. And Rudy Gutta from, it's not Gulf Beach Baptist Church anymore. It's called Church of the Beach
or something. Really?
I'm so sorry if you're part of that fellowship.
Yeah, I thought it was Gulf Beach Baptist. It's not.
No, they've changed the name. But either way,
so sorry.
He's the associate pastor over there. And he and I keep threatening to try to get the Beach Ministerial Association back together. But again, trying to get the time and the, you know, everybody wants to. It's just to do it. We used to have a dear young man named, young man. We had a dear guy, 80 years old,
Pete. He was awesome.
Who was heading that up and kind of arranging those for us and as a volunteer. And it was very helpful for us. So you never know. Maybe somebody like that will raise up again. And
well, he was in the laity though, right? So that was the only problem with Pete.
Are we really going there? I see. Now that I, when I look over at your expression, I was looking away from you, so I didn't realize that. Yeah, because well, you know me, because you know I'm all about strict separation clergy of clergy and laity. There should be no fraternization.
The only reason I brought that up is because he was always apologizing about it. It I always know. Made us both so sad. We're like, well, first of all, I'm always like, what the heck? What's the difference? I don't know what these things are. But I kind of figured it out from what he was saying. Well, I'm just the laity, you know? And we're like, whatever. You're the one putting this together. You're yeah. awesome. And anyway, yeah. that was a little side note
Pete
for free.
Pete was awesome.
Yes, he was.
So, what about funny stories from East Gate or anything? Anything going on that would be humorous?
Oh,
something that we could laugh about? We could all just laugh
oh
until
gosh,
we
so
cry.
So much pressure. No, it's not going to be that funny. But I was thinking about something the other day. You and I have talked at different times about some ideas we've had for T-shirts for East Gate or bumper stickers or things like that. I don't know if you'd call those high moments or low moments for us, but
typical moments is
yes,
what I'd call
yes.
them. Yeah, so what are some of those ideas? Are you gonna are you brave enough
yeah,
to tell
Yeah, I
us?
Can tell you one that came to mind. We were talking about the other, we told someone about it and they laughed. So maybe you guys will laugh too.
Maybe.
You probably already heard it. But one of them was, I think it was an idea for a bumper sticker. And it's when a new church had come to town and it was all the rage. We decided Eastgate, we said it could say Eastgate in big letters and underneath, it's not too late to go to North Star. Because we always felt like, as often as the case, other churches like North Star just
they
really
do.
Have their stuff together. They
do.
They really
they know what
know.
They're doing.
They
and
look
just,
good. They just everything.
Just clumsy and just
yeah.
whatever. Yeah. Yep. Eastgate. It's not too late to go to North Star.
That's right. That sounds like a good byline, right? But I know
maybe
we've
something
got
something with the times of the North Star meetings or something.
Yeah. That's true.
I feel like I think there was a time when we were going to hand out directions to North Star.
That's true. We're so sorry. Here's another place yeah. that really... Well, I think I got to thinking about it too. I was listening.
And this is not to denigrate North Star.
No,
we're actually saying
only...
that they've got, you know, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And it was,
and they look good doing it.
They do. They really do.
Well, I was thinking about it. I was re-listening to your message from last Sunday or a couple Sundays ago, where you were talking about how one of our shirts, and it's in small print, so maybe people don't always realize that's in there, but it says Eastgate, a work in progress.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really how we've always seen ourselves. And so it does make us feel just a little bit like, so sorry.
So sorry. Which would be another T-shirt thing, just saying yeah. Eastgate, sorry about that.
Sorry. Could be better.
Or we could even say Eastgate. It could be worse.
Yeah, here's the thing. If y'all want to participate in the podcast, you can send us one of your ideas.
Yeah, there
and
we go.
We'll try to read it online.
That's right. Come up with a T-shirt idea along these lines, and we'll be glad to read it.
We enjoy self-deprecating humor. I never, when people would say things, oh, yeah, we're so cool, I'm like, oh, wait, no, we're not. We're not. You need to fix that.
You haven't been here long enough.
You don't know us well enough.
Yes. Hey, Robbie, you know how awesome it is that we have so many people that volunteer at Eastgate?
I know. They make things work.
They do. I mean, the fellowship, the Sunday morning meetings would not happen if we didn't have people getting involved and giving their time and their expertise to
yeah.
help out. And
we
so
totally appreciate that, too.
We really do. And so if you're interested in volunteering, we need volunteers all the time in Kidsgate and... Don't you need them back in the media room?
I always do. We're very shorthanded right now in the media room. And if you want to come back there and hide with me,
if you're
join
an introvert
me.
And you don't want to have to talk to people or shake hands or anything like that, you can hide in a dark room.
Join us
and
in
stare
the nerdery.
At a computer screen.
It's
just like being in mom's basement. So there's that, there's Soundboard, there's all kinds of places where...
Greeters, if you're an extrovert, I've heard there's people like that.
There are people like that that enjoy smiling at other people, other human beings. They don't even
awesome.
Have to tell themselves, hey, humans are supposed to smile at somebody else.
That's
they
right.
just do it naturally.
They're awesome.
So, yeah, so Soundboard, there's all kinds of different ways. If you're interested in volunteering at Eastgate, you can just drop a line to eastgatepcb@gmail.com and just indicate that you're interested in volunteering. And if there's a specific area that you'd like to volunteer in, say Kidsgate or Media Room or Sound Tech, and we will get you pointed in the right direction.
Enjoy it.
Yes, enjoy it. That's a command. Enjoy it.
You will enjoy it.
You will enjoy this.
Yes, we would love to have you and appreciate your help already.
So a lot of times we like to highlight a volunteer on the podcast. So is there somebody that you might have had in mind, Robbie?
There is. I was thinking of a young woman who is just amazing, and her name is Annie Bingham.
Oh.
And she does a lot around Eastgate. She, I think, misses completely every other Sunday just because she is either in Kidsgate and or with middle school youth.
Yep.
And so sometimes... You know, I think like every other week she can come out for the meeting part. And then the other week she's in both either Kidsgate and middle school or something like that. And so she's just amazing. She's wonderful with children. She's super helpful and someone we really depend on all the time.
She really is. And she has so much going for her. She's just a very intelligent young lady and really loves the Lord. That comes through all the time and gives so much to teaching in the middle school and working with high school at various retreats. I know she goes, you know, has gone several times to
yes.
the retreats to help as a volunteer. So she's been awesome. And honestly, I mean, along those lines, when it comes to the student ministries, there's so many people get involved in that. And it's wonderful to see all the different personalities that come together. I know that for Blake, he's mentioned that a lot of times, that it's helpful to him to have multiple personalities there to teach, to be there, to represent the gospel to the students, because then they get a more rounded picture of what this walk can look like.
I know my son Bradley's volunteered before, and he has talked about how cyclically it changes, the personalities change. Like one year they have mostly boys and they're all nerds and they're really into gaming and that's really awesome. And then the next year they may have a lot of girls.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what, you know, Blake's talking about, having that the benefit of different personalities there to relate to each of these kids
right,
and their situations
right.
and what they're going through.
Which is cool. And what I mean, that even kind of bleeds over into something that you may or may not know about Eastgate,
yeah.
but the volunteer base we have at Eastgate is
huge.
I mean, when you think about the size of this church, and again, we don't have an official role or anything like that, so we don't know exactly how many people would claim Eastgate as their church.
Publicly.
another t-shirt idea. Eastgate, maybe you'll claim it as your church.
On an official document. Maybe you won't.
But Janelle has told us that there are upwards of 80 volunteers in the Kidsgate classes alone.
Area alone.
Yeah.
And whether all you know this or not, we have a very small staff at Eastgate. Six, something like that.
Only two or three are
full-time. Yeah. And so we really depend on volunteers so much. And with Kidsgate, there's, you know, quite a few classrooms. And the volunteers work 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. We have two services. And so, you know, there's quite a large number of people to help out and to manage, honestly, as well.
It
so
really
we
is.
Just want everyone to know how much we appreciate your work. I know you and I did it one time when you didn't have to teach on Sunday and you were so excited.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was the
was
best. It was
really
one of the
fun.
I think back to that experience multiple times since then. I think about the unique personalities, like we're saying, that were in that room, and just being able to interact with them like that was wonderful.
Yeah,
I just loved it.
It can feel, at least for me, who's kind of an introvert, an intimidating kind of thing to do before you go in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm not sure I would have done it alone, and they don't mind that. They're fine with you bringing a friend or a spouse or whatever with you. But once I got in there, I was just completely relaxed. Janelle really has everything planned very well, which helped me because I'm not the kind of person to wing it in terms of teaching these kids. But once we got in there, it was so much fun. I just enjoyed every minute
of it.
It
really was. It really was. I enjoyed it too. I like I said, I keep thinking back on it. At one point, we had a chance to be just playing a game. Just we had time to kill at the end, and so we're playing a game with the students, and just seeing their energy and excitement, and having mm-hmm. that opportunity to be able to just be there and be present in their lives. I feel like that's just as important as anything else. Just to be adults who are demonstrating through our presence there that we care about them, that they're important, and that God has a plan for them, that God loves them.
And that's right.
Man, I still say that no matter how else we advance out in demonstrating the gospel as the church, as Eastgate, I still see that Kids Gate class as those classes back there as the leading edge of our outreach, because it has so much of an impact on these kids later on in life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think even to this day, we have some middle school and high school kids that come kind of independent of their parents. And so I think that that's significant, that kids are wanting to come to church, not just because mom or dad is making them come, but just because they want to be there. And maybe, who knows, maybe it starts because they've developed an interest at a young age.
Right. Right on. So.
All right, so we recently had a new grandbaby enter into the world.
Yes, we did. Piper May.
So I thought we might want to mention that real quick. We had a quick trip to Jacksonville. And
it was wonderful. And she's wonderful.
She's amazing.
And we had the chance to bring our grandson back with us.
Yeah, her older brother, who's 18 months old.
Yeah, and he stayed here. So it was exciting having a toddler back in the house.
It was. Only because we knew it wasn't permanent. But it was so much fun. And honestly, we missed him when we brought him back home. And they got about almost a week, mom, dad, and the new baby alone. And then we brought big brother home and left.
Have
just
at
walked
it.
Away slowly.
Backed out the door and ran. Right. Ran to the car.
I got a call about the next day. Mom, how did you do this? I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember any of that.
it's all a blur. We have no idea.
It is such a blur. But I will say, all my kids, both my daughters, daughters-in-law, all of them have worked. They work. And
it's
I never
true.
Did. I mean, I was home. That was all I did. But either way, the point of the story was to welcome our new granddaughter, Piper May. And we're very happy and wanted to mention that. The other thing I wanted to just say, too, very briefly, is you and I are about ready to celebrate a big anniversary.
We are. We're going to have been married for 9,000 years.
Oh, wow. It feels like 9 days.
We'll have been married 35 years in October, October 28th.
That's right. Good job. Hey. You said that without blinking.
I know my dates. I know the important ones anyway. I know
good.
The ones that I'm supposed to know.
There you go. You got those World War II dates memorized. So you better have our anniversary date memorized. But so we are doing a small and quick trip to Atlanta for a couple of days next week. So we're excited about that. And that'll be in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Going to a concert and a play and staying at an Airbnb. And excited about that.
I am too. Just a quick little getaway. And just means that we have to work real hard at the front end of the week.
There you go. And at the back end.
Because then I come home and got a few things to do, a wedding to do.
Memorial service to do.
That's right. So
a message to do. Yeah.
Yeah, so why are we doing this anyway?
I don't know. We felt like we should. It's a good even number.
It's a big year.
And honestly, we might have done something a little more, but we do have another trip planned. You know, in first week of November, we're going to Seattle, West Coast, with a couple of our kids, and so that's really a bigger trip.
Does that have to be a secret? Did we not?
No,
say
you just looked at me like you were freaked out. Like maybe
no.
I shouldn't have said that. Okay,
no.
Yeah. So that's really where most of our money's going, basically. So we're just doing a quick trip up to Atlanta, but looking forward to that.
Robbie has family; her sister's out on the West Coast, so we're going out there and we're gonna kick around Seattle, go to a football game, and then visit with her sister and.
Just
not that anybody cares. I can't even believe that. I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe
put us on 1.5 speed.
Yeah, really. You should have done that a long time ago. Okay. I mean, like, seriously, even more than 1.5 speed by this point.
I mentioned that on another podcast, and Stephanie Barron tried it, and she said, I forget what she said, it gave her anxiety or something. And I'm like, well, yeah, there are certain podcasts that I can't do 1.5 speed.
But this would be one. Surely this, you could do that. In fact, actually, just hit fast forward. Hit the little arrow button to get
scrubbing.
To the next podcast.
Oh, no, yeah. Where you
somebody else's podcast.
You put your finger down and slide all the way across.
There you go. That'll
like,
save you.
I'm done with this. Okay, so what have you been listening to, reading, watching, anything lately?
Well, again, I Romans occupies most of my time, and I read a lot of history and a lot of stuff on that. Mm-hmm. But I got together with my reading buddy the other day, Andy Tatum. He and I got together and had lunch, and he so highly commended the book of about Paul to me, N.T. Wright's book called Paul, A Biography. And I've had it there on my reading list for a while, and he was talking about it so passionately, and that got me excited about it. And there's two different books that I'm, you know, holding on to get ready to read here. One of them is that, Paul, by N.T. Wright, and the other is called Cross Vision, which is a book by Boyd about the violence in the Old Testament.
So some light reading.
So just a little, yeah, just a little frivolous little concepts about, you know. But it sounds really good. He has got a two-volume set. Greg Boyd's got a two-volume set that addresses this. There's a shorter version called Cross Vision. Both of the, I mean, well, Andy Tatum's read them all. He read the two-volume one, and he's read the...
He travels a lot and reads them on planes, right?
Yeah. Or, and he probably doesn't watch as much TV as we do.
What? I bet he can recommend a TV show.
Yeah, so take that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so no, he's since awesome. He got excited about it, I picked it up, read through the introduction, and I think I'm going to pick that. I haven't read it. I just read the introduction and the first introductory stuff of the first chapter. But
cool. I'm sure you'll like that because you guys then, tend to have the same taste.
We do. We actually do, and it's just enjoyable to have discussions about this stuff, and it's not stuff that everybody necessarily wants to sit around and chit-chat about.
He's your nerd friend. Yeah, Bible nerd friend.
My nerd friend. I got my Bible nerd friend. I got Kevin Barron's my comic book friend. He sent me a text today with a cover from a Batman. Not many people can switch between between N.T. Wright and Batman 66 crossover with Archie.
That's a skill
but it's
set
pretty cool.
You need to be proud of.
But anyway, so
you all see me rolling my eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Oh, and then the other thing that I just you couldn't even see the face she made. The other thing is that last time my son Daniel was very disappointed that I hadn't mentioned a podcast that he and I were listening to.
Yes.
He turned me on to it. He's been listening to it. I haven't finished it all yet, but it's Mike Duncan's Revolutions podcast, and it deals with all the various revolutions. We were listening specifically to the South American revolutions, which I just found fascinating because I know so very little about our South American neighbors and so little about their history. And it was fascinating to get a glimpse at the development of colonial, post-colonial South America and what it took for them to, and how it's still, why there's, it informs us as to why there's still revolution happening down there, why it is that communist groups and the unrest that's there is there. And so anyway,
that's
Mike
awesome.
Duncan. He's also the one who did the podcast, The History of Rome. And if you ever get a chance, it's really good. And honestly, everybody should be listening to those kind of podcasts. Everybody should be learning and reading history about Rome because it's so much of it informs our understanding or it informs us about what the world was like that the New Testament was formed in. And that's pretty important for us as Christians,
think. It is, and I feel like every Sunday you have to give a little bit of backstory about Roman history just to kind of provide context for what you're teaching on.
Yeah, see, if you guys would all listen to podcasts, then I wouldn't even have to say. I could just get up there and say, there, this.
Remember that podcast?
Okay, let's see you.
That would make your job so much easier. Actually, you come from a family of historians and people interested in history. I know your brother went to college and studied history.
Riley majored in history. And
Your son Daniel is going to school to be a teacher, but he wants to be a history teacher. Your mom.
My mom taught history and English. And And my dad was a history buff, mm-hmm. just for his line of, my dad was a history buff.
There you go.
I don't even know what else to say.
Well, it's funny because I had a lack of interest in history in school, which I think, I don't know, I think it might make me dumb. But the reason why is funny.
Make me dumb.
Because I didn't like having to memorize the numbers of the dates. I thought that's all it is. It's just memorizing dates.
It's so much more than that.
And it's funny, I know, because you're a person who hates math and you hate numbers.
Yeah.
But you, I'm telling you, I joked about it earlier about World War II. I just give you any opportunity and you can start rattling off dates of significant events of World War II.
Not always, but I mean,
when was D-Day?
Oh, anyway. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows that one. That's a simple date. That's an easy date. But here's the thing. Is the dates are not that important.
June
I mean, the dates...
4th?
Seriously?
See?
It's June 6th. Anyway,
okay,
it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. The dates are ancillary in many ways. I mean, obviously, we have to be able to chart them and stuff. There's a whole thing, you know, there's a whole possibility that our dates are all wrong anyway. There's a great conspiracy theory out there that talks about how there are missing years of history. Because it served one monarch's purposes to change all of the dates. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
See, I think that if I had been more, listening more carefully in history class, in terms of the stories, that is interesting. The stories are fascinating.
Yeah.
But trying to remember when they all happened just was laborious to me, and I just kind of like memorized it long enough to take the test and then... quickly shoved it out the other side of my brain.
I can't retain that because if I keep that in my head, I'll forget my PIN numbers.
Exactly.
Well, the thing about it is that, yeah, it's the stories. It's the stories that cumulatively make up the human story.
That's right.
And that's what I think is just fascinating. It helps us to not only understand and define where we are now, but, you know, it gives you that high vantage point to see how we got here. What, you know, it explains so much.
In that sense, I really do, and this is probably like cheating, but I do love historical series, especially series, when you can take the time, video, you know, movie series, Netflix series,
right,
or things
yes.
like that. Like there was, I can't remember the name of it, right. John Adams, the John Adams.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. And Janelle does the same thing I do when we watch stuff like that, anything historical. We open up our computer and start checking everything and making
right.
sure they
yeah.
have it right.
Yeah.
Which is fine if they don't, but we just kind of want to know. And then we watch the Mary Queen of Scots, and I forget what that was called, the Tudors.
Oh, the Tudors,
Tudors on
yes.
Showtime.
That wasn't Mary, but yeah.
Yeah.
That was about, yeah, that was
Sorry.
About Henry VIII.
Yeah.
And which was interesting and took a lot of liberties. I don't know.
They did.
That one didn't, that one wasn't,
but to me,
that one didn't stand out to me as much as like John Adams did.
No, not as much. But I did the same thing where it did make me study history a little bit while it was going on. And like, did they make this up? And some of the stuff that seemed so incredible, I'm like, this really happened. I
yeah.
was surprised on some of the incredible things that happened.
Yeah. So. But then again, and then there's always that other suspicion
yeah.
about, you know, history is written by the victors.
Yes,
I was doing so much research and study about Nero and how, interestingly enough, there are propositions that Nero may not have been at least as much of the monster as he gets portrayed by Tacitus and some of his historians immediately following him after
yeah.
the house Julian, you know, was done. And I mean, obviously somebody instigated the persecution against Christians, and so
sure.
he's, you know, that was him, and so he was monstrous in that sense. But the extent, some of the things, it's a potential. I mean, certainly it's a potential that
of
those
course.
Things were exaggerated by his enemies,
well,
by people who don't want it, you know, want him remembered well.
If you think about it right now, if there was one person in charge of recording current political goings on right now, how could they portray it completely accurately when there's so many opinions and
right
so
how could
many,
it ever be done without bias
without
anybody yeah.
exactly yes couldn't
yeah,
have worded it better yourself
but
thank
but
you
I
for
tried.
Doing it but yeah so you do have
so
to think
you
about
have to
that
always,
too with history
yeah,
and that's why there's more than one writer
right
I suppose so you have to kind of take it all in a little bit but yeah there's
but that's the you know so that's the lingering lingering question behind all of these kinds of studies is how much can we trust history.
Mm-hmm.
How much can we trust? But, you know, at some point you have to trust it to some degree. And
right.
clearly, I mean, I'm not, I want to clarify, I am not defending Nero. I'm not trying to say that Nero was a pretty decent guy, actually. No, he was monstrous. Most of those emperors were monstrous, though. That's the thing. And, but either way, it was a fascinating insight. What else did we?
Well, I watched a couple things before I get to the thing you and I did together. And actually, I think about the things I've watched recently are all like documentary type things or dramatizations of real life things. One was The Keepers, which was a series on Netflix. And it started off, if you all know me, as looking more like a kind of a true crime study of an unsolved crime about a nun who was killed. She was a teacher in a Catholic school, and I forget what year she was killed, but I'm thinking back in the 70s. Again, those numbers, that's when I'm having a hard time with them. But it started off there and went on way from quite a bit from there. And I think they, in my opinion, I feel like they sort of solved it. But either way, it was a fascinating series that I watched by myself. And then the other series I watched that I just finished, and both of these have been around for a while, was The People versus O.J. Simpson. I watched that trial live when it happened. I finally finished it. Okay. Yes. Uh-huh. And I thought it was really good. I didn't feel like it was presented with bias. I kind of felt like they showed both sides of the table there. And the actors did a really good job. And it was fascinating to see some of the things that might have happened behind the scenes. I think it was based on a book from someone that had done the research, like Robert Kardashian and his conflict that he had. I mean, he loved OJ, but he felt very conflicted as time went on. And anyway, I thought it was a very well done series. I enjoyed that.
John Travolta was in that, wasn't he?
John Travolta actually produced it too, but he played Robert Shapiro. Yes. And like I said, we watched it on TV, but there were some things.
You mean we watched the trial?
We watched the trial on TV live.
Yeah.
But then seeing possibly the way Robert Shapiro was in real life was really interesting. It showed another side of him.
Interesting.
That, you know, you and I wouldn't have been aware of just watching it live. Huh. So yeah, that was fun. And then you and I listened to a book on our journeyings from Jacksonville, which was
many journeyings.
I think it was a 9-hour, 10-hour book, something like that.
And we covered it in two trips.
Well, we did. We finally got it done. And that was called...
I don't remember the title of it.
Bad Blood.
Bad Blood. Oh, my gosh. What a fascinating...
And you listened to that with... what's the word? Did not want to listen to it with me. Let's just put it that way. I described it to you, and I have to.
It was like being offered a banana. It's like, ugh, really.
It's one that I had heard recommended from one of my favorite podcasts, and so I downloaded the book, but that was the only one we had time to get to before when my daughter called us and I think I'm going into labor, and we had to have a book for the road, and I already had that one. So Janelle was with us too, and I'm gonna say I don't know how long it took you guys, but within a pretty short time you were both drawn in by the story.
It was very well written, and I was in almost immediately. What a fascinating story. It's a true life story. I mean, it's actually still ongoing. It's not fully resolved yet. But it's
written
about,
by a Wall Street Journal reporter.
Right, a medical who deals with medical things. But it's about a girl who was a Stanford dropout. And I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, it's about a woman. Is that wrong? He can't say girl? Why?
She was an adult.
But she was a girl at the time. She was a
19.
She was in college.
She's an adult woman.
I don't know why. That just seems like you could say girl. Okay, it's about a woman. Who, that even sounded aggressive, didn't it?
A little bit.
It's about a young lady.
There we go.
Who was a Stanford dropout and was part of a startup company. Formed a startup company in Silicon Valley that was supposed to be able to do blood tests off a tiny pinprick of blood. And her name was Elizabeth
Holmes. And the name of the company was Theranos.
And it was a captivating story of how this, how this whole thing was perpetuated and was a complete fraud. She had backers that you cannot believe. She had
big names, Henry Kissinger.
Yeah, political leaders and lawyers and people that should have certainly known better and been able to do their due diligence and look into this. And I mean, billions of
millions
dollars.
Millions and millions of dollars.
Wait, is it millions or billions?
I think it was like 900 million. 9 billion, wasn't it? 900 million is what she raised. Maybe it was more than that, but.
Me and numbers, so I don't know. But it was a crap ton of money. That's exactly right. That's.
And I remember one of the lines in there was she was trying to get someone to invest, and including the publisher Rupert Murdoch of the Wall Street Journal was one of the investors.
Right, yes.
And I think it was to him she said, you know, we need your investment, but hey, listen, don't expect any quarterly reports right away. We're still kind of, she didn't say we're a work in progress, but that's basically what, and I went, what the heck? She just got this guy to invest $1 million and agree to no quarterly reports.
It's amazing.
What
it's
world is this?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was fascinating. It reminded me of All the President's Men, which dates me a little bit, but it is a fascinating story as well done by journalists. As a journalist, basically expose of the Nixon administration, which is a really good movie too. And this they're going to make a movie of too. Jennifer Lawrence, I think, is already slated to play Elizabeth
Holmes. I think it will be I mean, if they handle it well, it could be a really good movie. It's a very entertaining story and like watching a train wreck or something, just to see these forces at work that would not slow down and the arrogance that was driving that. And
ego was incredible. And I'm sure she was in it for financial gain as well, but they didn't really talk about that as much. Obviously she had money,
right,
but it was more a matter of pride and ego and just, you know, she started dressing like
Steve Jobs.
Yes,
she started, because she wanted to see herself as the female version of Steve Jobs. And it is a shame that, you know, she was touted as one of the first CEOs, major CEOs of a major
Silicon Valley startup, female,
and it's a tragedy that that ends up being, you know, what it was.
Yeah, when I started Googling her, like I always do whenever I hear a story, it said they labeled her. One person labeled her as the most disappointing leader, and I'm like, oh, seriously? Wow. I mean, yeah, she messed up along with a bunch
of
other guys.
But you understand
too,
but the sentiment behind
that. I do,
the
because
idea
they
that
were
you finally
heralding
thought you had
her.
Something. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that was a shame, but. Really interesting. If you ever, if you got 9 hours to kill, if you have to drive to Jacksonville or something.
Bad Blood.
Bad Blood is a really good story. And it's well, the narrator, if you listen to the audiobook of it, and I don't remember the narrator's name, but
I don't
was,
either.
It was
but he
really
reminds me
good.
Of the narrator from Forensic Files. So I loved him immediately.
Yeah, it was he did a good job of reading it.
Mm-hmm. Baseball, football news, switching gears.
All right. Baseball, football. Well, regular season's just about over, so Marlins are pretty much out of everything. They still ended up, they had the worst record in the National League.
Yeah, but not the American League.
But not in all of baseball. The Orioles, I believe,
saying there's
that.
A chance.
They're just saying there's a chance. So so that was that for the Marlins. I guess that's this week. That'll be the end of it this
week.
Yeah,
I think I know the Cubs are playing every day through the last day of September, which I think is Sunday. And I wanted to tell you some good news.
What's that?
I checked my phone just before we started this, and the Cubs have clinched a playoff berth.
Oh!
They have a little X beside their name.
Finally.
But what's funny is sort of the Brewers. They both have clinched a playoff berth. So I don't know how that works, but
well, I guess the idea is one of them. Okay, so one of them will be a wild card.
Probably, yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
Because depending on who comes out
their
on top.
Their records are neck and neck.
Not
Pittsburgh.
No, but Pittsburgh's been destroying the Cubs in this last series. I don't understand it. None of it makes sense to me.
Yeah, and Milwaukee has just been staying neck and neck with them.
Yep.
And so the Cubs have a decent record, but Milwaukee's just been keeping up step
it's
for step.
Been,
it's about two games
difference
right now.
It's been a knife fight all the way through, and it's been rough.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But with baseball.
Yeah, but with baseball bats and baseballs. And
so either way, they made it to the playoff berth, and that's, you know.
Yeah, so that's exciting. So at least we'll have a little bit more Cubs, a little extra Cubs to get us through. But it's always that strange transition between football and baseball, and the two different sports are very, very difficult to transition between, the pace of the game and everything.
Mm-hmm. But there's something I'm obviously going to really miss about the end of baseball season. It's very relaxing. It's very summery feeling, and it's hot dogs and sunshine and
apple
ballparks and something great and all-American about it.
Right.
So that part is sad to be over. But it's always fun to have football too.
But football reminds you of the fall and makes you think about Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up and
cooler
temperatures. Although what's happened
hasn't
in Florida?
Happened yet.
I don't know what's going on.
It's
we flipped.
Hotter than heck right now. Still in the 90s.
However hot heck is. It's
very
like
hot.
And this apparently is hotter than it.
But the water's still Pretty nice. I was going to say that, but then actually the last time we went, it was kind of tea colored.
It's kind of tannic. I think it's from runoff. I don't think we've got red tide anymore. I think that's cleared out of the area. But I don't know for sure, but I feel like that's the last thing I heard.
Because Mr. Surf said. And
no, I believe that was on the news. Okay. I believe it was on the news.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. Don't make fun of me for that. So what about quotes, Robbie? Do we got a any kind of a good quote for us?
Yeah, I saw a quote that I liked, and it's quoted by Thomas Irby, who we know and love, and I don't know if he said it directly or if he copied it from someone else. That sounds weird if he quoted someone else, but he doesn't give credit to someone else, so it's possible he said it. Anyway, it says, "The image of God is like an infinite mosaic. Each person is a tiny piece of God's eternal picture. Every shape, color, and texture is important to the image of God."
Oh, man, I like that.
Isn't that nice and beautiful?
Shout out to Thomas. If that's original with you, that's beautiful. That's amazing.
Well, there was kind of a follow-up.
I don't mean amazing like as if I can't imagine Thomas would come up. I mean, he's an intelligent and educated man, so obviously.
He kind of followed up with it with another just kind of statement saying, "This has been a centering theological understanding for our worship service with and for people with different abilities and disabilities. We are all a tiny part of God's infinite image."
Wow.
And so I got the feeling that maybe he'd come up with it. I don't know. But I just reading it, I had a visual of a mosaic. And
isn't that,
it's beautiful.
That's a beautiful picture to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I thought so too. Very good.
Cool.
Good quote.
Well, good.
Good quote, Robbie. Good quote, Thomas.
Yeah. So I have a quick money minute.
Okay.
I was just thinking of something the other day.
Is it wrong that every time that you say that we're going to do the Money Minute that the Pink Floyd song goes through my head?
No, that's good. We should play that in the background. That's awesome.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. So you were thinking.
Well, I was talking to someone a while back, and she was having some financial difficulties. And I said, "Oh, let's sit down. Let's do a budget." And she's like, "Oh, no, I'm not ready for that yet." And I went, "Okay, well, when you are, let me know." And I walked away from that thinking, and I think people do that in a lot of areas of their lives.
Yes.
With other things as well. Kind of like, I'll get with God once I get my life straightened
out,
kind of a thing.
Let me straighten this out,
and
then I'll
do this. To just say, but I couldn't think of how to do it without just being really intrusive and pushy in her life. But honestly, when you're in the middle of trouble is when you do need to come up with your budget.
Right.
And it's okay to realize your life's a mess, your financial life is a mess, and to sit down and start laying all the cards out on the table and try to see what direction do I go, where do I make some changes. And obviously, a lot of times when you stop and look at your financial situation, there aren't a lot of big changes you can make immediately, except for maybe stop spending in one area or something like that. So, but either way, I just wanted to...
I mean, when is a good time?
Today.
Yeah, I mean, so that's it. I mean, it's not like there's ever really there's no great opportune moment. That's true in almost everything. Everything that's going to require some sort of radical change or confrontation of reality, that's always going to be difficult. There's never a good time to do that.
Right. And I feel like we always call that kind of a come to Jesus moment. And usually that's when you just feel like you throw up your hands and like, I give up. I can't do anything anymore. You don't have to even wait to that point. If you realize things are out of control, either spiritually or financially, that's a good time. That's a good time to stop and take stock and get with someone or.
It seems, as I'm thinking that through, it's kind of a deflecting
maybe it's a way to kind of help put it off that it's too hard to confront at the time.
Yeah. It's trying to deflect with the idea. It's a straw man argument that we have with ourselves. Mm-hmm. The idea that somewhere out there's going to be this more opportune moment where I'll have the time, I'll have the ability, I'll have whatever the ethereal thing is, the nebulous thing that we feel like we have in order to finally get this thing wrangled under control. And the reality is the only thing that we need to be able to wrangle it under control is a confidence that God's with us.
Absolutely.
And that is going to work through this with us, but also the willingness to be brutally honest with ourselves and confront these things.
Yeah, and like as my hero Dave Ramsey always says,
what, you like Dave Ramsey? What? I would have never
Dave
known.
DaveRamsey.com, check it out.
Oh my goodness.
It's all about behavior modification for financial stability. And so that can happen at any time. I think a lot of times financially we're like, oh, I'm going to either win the lottery or I'm going to get an inheritance,
right,
or I'll get this one bill paid off, or I'm going to get a raise, or just list it, you know, whatever it is. And I was listening to a daily audio Bible the other day on 1.5 speed, by the way. and he was going through, I think it was Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. I think it was Ecclesiastes. It was talking about how Solomon attained everything he wanted. He said, I set my heart on riches or something. I forget how it was worded exactly, but something like that. And he had the ability to do that. God allowed that in his life, that he could have whatever he wanted. And when he got everything he wanted, everything, relationally, financially, in every way, he looked at it all and said, all is vanity.
Yeah.
All is vanity. And so,
well, if Solomon is the one who wrote that, but yes.
Right. Okay.
But yes.
But the point is still the same. And so I guess what, for me, even I thought, okay, I feel like we're in a good place. You know, we follow the Dave Ramsey plan. We're out of debt.
We do?
Yeah. Yeah. Except for our mortgage. But there still is things. There still are things that I kind of look forward to. I'm like, okay, well, when we get this or when we get that, we'll be able to do X. We'll be able to maybe whatever, you know, those things you look forward to in
right.
life. But listening to that made me really stop and think, okay, enjoy today.
That's right.
Be able to
absolutely.
Just appreciate
that's so true.
What you have today.
That's right.
And not think in terms of always what's coming up in the future, what good thing is coming up. Because, I mean, there's obviously bad things out there too. You never know. But I don't want to live like that, you know. But the point is just appreciate what God's given you today. And I think that's like super important.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And that'll lead us right into that's not a thing.
What's not a thing?
That is not a thing.
What?
That's not a thing. You know how oftentimes we'll quote Philippians 4:13? I can
do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah. And so what do most people, I can't say most people, but what do people often think that is saying? That like if you've got something really hard in front of you that you've got to do, that I can
accomplish a task, or
I can get out there and do something. I can lift a car over my head if I need to, or whatever it is. Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me superpowers.
Yeah.
Well,
super cat speed.
If you really actually look at the context of everything that Paul is saying there, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is he's had all these hardships come into his life, all these things that have gone terrible, the pain that he's endured and suffering that he's gone through, but he finishes it out saying, you know, I can do all these things through Christ. I can endure these things. I can go through these hardships. I've learned how to have a lot. I've learned how to have little. I've learned how to be content in all situations. I can do all things through Christ.
That's
so
awesome.
So that goes back to like what you were talking about, the idea of finding that contentment, finding that ability in Christ to not constantly be looking out to the future. When I finally get this or that, I'll finally be satisfied. No. Mm-hmm. We'll find satisfaction as we do what Jesus told us to do. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't put everything off till tomorrow. Get present right now. Be present in this moment. Recognize what a gift life is. Realize your part in that amazing mosaic that God is putting together that is representative of his creation. All of us reflecting the glorious image of God. That's a wonderful, beautiful thing to know about ourselves and a great way to appreciate every day and every moment that we have.
I love it. I love it. And it teaches us contentment in Christ, which is honestly what he wants for us.
That's the riches. Those are the riches that we're looking for. Contentment in Christ. Contentment in our daily situation.
Not that I'm going to be something not that the world around us does not have.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked about it in a message again. Sorry, I got caught up on a lot of podcasts and everything today while I was working
in
the office.
That's fine.
And but you talked
you
a lot
paid
about
for this or something.
When no one's around, I have my phone going, but the office was empty today, so I had my podcast going. But on your other teaching, we talked about the advertising and the onslaught of advertising, and I honestly think it teaches discontent.
Oh, absolutely, it teaches discontent. You're not going to be fully human until you get a salad shooter or
that's
something.
Right. I sort of feel that way, just you hearing you say that.
But that's how the whole commercial, And honestly, Lance Ford, when he taught on neighboring and that whole aspect mm-hmm. of how the marketing system rose in the United States, how it came through the catalog systems yeah, and how they realized right. Sears and Roebuck were that's the ones right. who realized that if we can keep people on edge thinking the American dream is out there, and they're the ones who coined that
just
phrase.
Just a little bit beyond
yeah.
reach.
Yeah, if you can just get this Cracker Box house, if you can just get this new fridge, you will finally have made it. But it's always one more thing to acquire, to put together, to have, to present to people, and none of it is going to satisfy us like just being able to enjoy our humanness in a redeemed state with God.
Absolutely.
Nothing's better than that.
That's right. If you have any comments or questions about Eastgate, marriage, theology, finance, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop us an email at eastgatepcb@gmail.com. Thanks.
All right. Well, is there anything much more that we need to talk about today?
I think it's possible we're out of words.
It's possible. Let's not make any sudden noises because we don't want to wake up the four listeners who've already fallen asleep.
There's a really great app called Calm, which helps you sleep.
Oh.
I haven't tried it yet. I've just seen ads for it.
Well, this could be like that too, though. This would be one of those things you put on and immediately. If you've got insomnia, hey, I'll go get Wonder What. I'll put that on. Boom. You're gone.
Like an Epicat. Is that what it's called?
No, an Epicac makes you throw up. No. But it could be that. I think it's very possible.
It could be a lot like that.
Yeah, so if you're having trouble sleeping or if you need
some bad salmon
and you need to purge, well, Wonder What's got what you need. So tune in next time.
You'll never miss another episode now.
Yeah. So anyway, I can't think of anything else to say. So this is Eastgate. We're learning how to love God. We're learning how to love others.
This is our story so far.
God bless you guys.
Intro music for the Wonder What podcast was provided by Matt Green from his album Songs, available for purchase at Bandcamp, iTunes, or stream it online at Spotify. Additional music written and performed by Atomicos, Derek Clegg, Blue Wave Theory, and Dr. Turtle via the Free Music Archive.